Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday at this time to talk things over with you. And to do that, we want to know what's on your mind today. If there's a Bible passage, an issue with a family member, a problem at work or at school, whatever the question or the circumstance, we want to talk with you about it right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, and we invite you to call again right now. 844-322-2742. Whatever the issue, whatever the question, call now. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Monday to you, and happy Monday to all of our listeners. It's awfully nice to be with you again today. We're talking about religion versus Christianity. That's been our topic for the last couple of weeks. We're going to continue that topic today. And throughout this week, we're going to be looking at things religion cannot give us. We put a lot of stock in our religious practices and religious teachings and those sort of things. But as the Bible says, those things are man-made. It's stuff that we have come up with, and yet we cling to that as if that's eternal life, but it's not. Eternal life is found in Jesus. So the first thing that we're going to look at today, as far as the things that religion cannot give us, is rest. Rest for the soul. We see in the book of Hebrews this, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. So if you want to experience rest for the soul, if you want to experience the peace of God that passes understanding, then you're going to have to let go of man-made religion. Yeah. You're going to have to let go of those rituals and those practices and those rules and regulations that you are clinging to in order to try to gain rest for your soul. You're going to have to let go of those and just simply enter God's rest by faith, by believing that Christ took away your sins, by believing that in Christ there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Otherwise, you're going to struggle and you're going to remain in a state of restlessness. Yeah. Religion equals restlessness. Relationship with Christ by grace through faith equals rest. It's very clear cut. So we see a lot of restless Christians. I had a question about that last week in a Zoom meeting that I was engaged in. And that's something that we all long for. It's something that we all want in our lives. We want rest for our souls. We want the peace of God that passes understanding. Well, it's not going to come to you through man-made religion. As Jesus extended the invitation, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down. Well, what has burdened you down? Well, it's religion. It's empty religion, empty man-made religion. That will wear you out faster than anything. Empty religion is the hamster on the spinning wheel, going as fast as he can, but getting absolutely nowhere. So are you willing to let go of all of that man-made religion, that empty tradition, that stuff that you think is so important, and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ? When we look back at the creation story, we see that God created man on the sixth day. We were the final act of creation. We were the pinnacle. We were the ones made in the likeness of God. And as soon as God created us and looked at us and said, that is good, he rested. Why? Because his work was finished. So our relationship with God started from a place of rest. Well, sin disturbed that. Sin disrupted that rest that Adam and Eve had with God, and they became restless people, and they engaged in religion. They found fig leaves and tried to cover themselves up. That was the first religious act. That came from their mind, their imagination, and it did nothing. It did not bring their souls rest. As a matter of fact, even in their fig leaves, they still hid from God because they were afraid. The only way that we can enter God's rest is to recognize that just as God created his or finished his work in creation, Jesus Christ finished his work in restoring salvation, in bringing to us salvation. And when we recognize that Jesus' work was sufficient, then we can let go of all the work that we are engaged in and simply rest in what Jesus has accomplished. So how do we enter that rest? As the writer of Hebrews says, we who have believed enter that rest. What have we believed? That Jesus Christ finished his work, that Jesus Christ took away our sins once and for all, and that Jesus Christ remembers them no more.
Wow, that's great news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. And we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, friends, we're only 11 days away from the start of our United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. And, excuse me, needless to say, we want you to be there. That's the reason that we're preparing the conference and presenting it for you. It is for you, and we want you to come and hear and see and meet two of the finest grace teachers of our time, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. We hope you'll log on right now to basicgospel.net/united and get registered. Again, that special website, basicgospel.net/united. Well, once again, the phone, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, let's go to our phone lines, Bob, and talk with Andrew listening to us in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Andrew, you're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hey, Andrew.
Good evening. Good evening. It's so good to see y'all. Hear y'all again. There's so much interest going on. And I was listening to Bob Davis, and two of the finest grace teachers. Shoot, you're two of the finest teachers of the gospel, period.
That's
so
right.
I appreciate everything that y'all do.
I agree.
All right. My question is, I was heard about fasting, and this lady was telling me, how when you pray and fast, it's like prayer on steroids when you're fasting. And then I'm reading a couple of books, and one of them, a friend of mine gave me a Return to Love by Mary Ann Wimser, and also The Art of Spiritual Healing by Joel S. Goldsmith. And what they were saying to me seemed like they're saying that there's only one power in the world, which is love. But according to what the word says, everything that's more than just the power of hate in the world, too, because I think we come out of that and we come into love by our acceptance of Jesus Christ. And I just want to know if you could elaborate on that.
Well, Andrew, good questions. As far as prayer and fasting, we pray, and then if we add fasting, that puts prayer on steroids. That's what some people think. I think we just need to stick with what the Word of God has to say. If we pray according to God's will, we are confident that He hears us and that He will give us what we ask for. So the idea is praying according to God's will. Well, what is God's will? It's for us to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. It's for us to love others as God in Christ has loved us. It's for us to experience the life of Christ to the full, in abundance. That's the will of God for us, and it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we pray according to the will of God, which means we're praying according to the Spirit, then we're going to see those prayers answered because God has said that that's what's going to happen. So it's basically learning to pray back to God what He has already told us through the Word of God or by His Spirit. So, Andrew, we need to realize that this relationship we have with God is characterized by this, that God is the initiator, we are the responders. So we think if we pray and fast, then we can initiate to God and get God to do what we want Him to do. Well, that's not how it works. So if we will recognize how this thing is set up, that God initiates, we respond, And when we respond to what he's revealed to us in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, then our prayers that we offer up to God are going to reflect his will, his word. And boy, we're going to see that produce something, so to speak. So we have to get that in perspective. I mean, we look at the example of Elijah and his prayers and what James had to say. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Well, when you look back at that story, you realize that Elijah was simply praying back to God what God had already said. So you think, wow, Elijah was just really ticked at the people, and he told God, hey, dry up the rains, bring a drought to them. Well, that's exactly what God had already said. You turn my back on me, you bow your knee to foreign gods, then I'm going to dry up the skies. So Elijah, when he saw that, when he saw all the people of Israel bowing to Baal and all the other gods, he simply prayed to God what God had already said to him. So that's how prayer works. So we have to realize that. Now, as far as power, love being the only power in this world, I mean, God himself is a powerful being. And we see the power of resurrection. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. We have the power of God's Spirit to work in us, to bring about transformation. Well, the compelling force behind those things is certainly the love of God. God is love. But we want to say that God is the most powerful entity in this universe. Does that make sense?
In a way. But see what happens, you know, because like we say, we have something that happens and somebody gets out and they go out and kill two or three people, something like that. In my opinion, it's hard, that's just my opinion, it's hard to say that was love. It seemed like that was an element that was working
right
in the human spot, which is called sin.
Yeah, there is the dark forces that are in play, and we have to recognize that. Now, here's the good news. The power of resurrection overcomes that. The power of resurrection overcomes the power of sin and death. So you were held captive by sin and death, Andrew, and then you heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that God loved you and sent Jesus on your behalf. You believed that gospel message, and you were identified in Christ's death, but you were raised to walk in the newness of life. So the power of resurrection overcame the power of sin and death. Why? Because God is more powerful than those forces of darkness.
Okay, that's in somebody who's accepted Christ. But someone hasn't accepted Christ, then they have the power of those darkness working in them. Is that correct?
That is correct. They're held captive by the power of sin and death, by the law of sin and death. And there's only one way to break free from that, and that's through the power of the resurrection.
All right. So those people who haven't accepted Christ, so that would mean there are two powers in the world, which is sin and death, which is, you know, by Satan and his cohorts, and then the power of Jesus Christ, or those who accepted Jesus Christ
right
as their Savior.
Right. So we have to recognize, though, that those two powers are not on equal footing. You know, there's not a struggle between the power of sin and death and the power of resurrection. I mean, God's power far outweighs the power of sin and death. And that's why he's going to be victorious. And that's why when we come to Christ, we live in that victory. And that's the good news.
I understand what you're saying, because I know even by being a Christian, you know, I still have signs and things that I say things and do things that I shouldn't do. And I'm saved, so I imagine people who don't have that, they really have some challenges. And that's why it seems like all these bad things happen in the world. And I don't think we really get to salvation till we, you know, leave here. And even, you know, like we're saying, you were praying. Sometimes we pray for things, and God don't give us that prayer. Some of us think, well, we just didn't have enough faith or weren't praying strong enough. So that's
right.
Why I'm trying to, you know, deal with trying to understand those things. I see all these things happening in the world. I know God is the ultimate power, but we also, because I think someplace in the verse it says this is the devil's world. I think in the, someplace in the Bible it says that.
Yeah, that's right. It says in 1 John that this world is under the control of the devil. But Christ did away with the works of the devil, and that's why we can be free in Christ. And that's the good news. So, Andrew,
okay,
good question.
One of us who saves. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, you are welcome.
Good to hear from you, friend. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. The phone lines, again, are open at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks. Well, B is watching us on YouTube, and she says, will you please give examples of religious restlessness versus rest in Christ? Thank you. Well, my life was a perfect picture of restlessness. When I accepted Christ as a seventh grader at a church camp, I knew something happened to me. I wasn't sure what, and I didn't get a full explanation as to what the gospel really does in our lives. So I knew Christ died for my sins. I knew he was raised from the dead. I knew that I needed Jesus, so I opened up and said, Lord, I receive you. Now, what that was to look like in my day-to-day life, I didn't have a clue, so I tried to figure it out on my own. And I listened to various people, and I know I had guilt over sins that I was submitting to and engaging in. And I couldn't figure a way to stop doing that and to really be God's guy. So I engaged in all kinds of religious practices. Every time I sinned, I got down on my knees in my bedroom and I just expressed that guilt and expressed that sorrow. And I asked God to forgive me, and I pleaded God for God's forgiveness. I promised that I was going to do better. And all of these sort of things. And then the next night, I was right there doing the same thing, doing the same religious practice. And after a while, I just got worn out by doing that. Why? Because I never knew if that was bringing about forgiveness or not. And the Bible is very clear. There is no forgiveness apart from the shedding of blood. So I wasn't relying upon the blood of Jesus and recognizing that those sins had already been forgiven. I was trying to get them forgiven through my religious efforts. And they just didn't work. And so I experienced all kinds of restlessness. I experienced guilt. I experienced fear. I experienced shame. And sadly, my story isn't unique. I think that is common out there in the Christian world. I think there are many believers who are trying the religious game to get rid of their fear and guilt and shame and all of those sort of things. Well, when I finally saw in the scripture that Christ had forgiven all of my sins and out of the book of Colossians, something clicked and I started to experience rest. I started to truly believe that what Christ accomplished at the cross was sufficient, that he actually took away all my sins. And not only did he take away my sins, he made me alive together with Christ. And when all that clicked, I entered God's rest. Martin Luther, his life is a picture of somebody who was restless because of religion and eventually experienced rest through faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the fact that God had freely justified him by grace. I mean, he spent hours in confession booths trying to rid himself of every unclean thought, every unclean attitude, trying to purify himself through that confession, hours of confession. And a story was told that one priest said, go out and actually do a sin and then come back and confess. So Martin Luther was bound up in religious effort. Yeah. And it took the power of the gospel to break him free from that. And that's where we got the Protestant Reformation and the great resurgence of that truth that we are justified freely by the grace of God, justified by faith alone.
Yes, indeed. B, thank you for the question, and we appreciate hearing from you as always. Bob, I had this question from Vernon. First, he says, thank you so much for what you guys do. Explaining the new covenant of grace has changed my life. He says, my question has to do with the Holy Spirit, the focus being on being that cycle that we are led into when we are told not to grieve him. This cycle is often described as we receive the Spirit at salvation, but when we mess up and sin, we grieve the Spirit, and then we repent, and Jesus will love us again, and he can operate in our lives. This just seems wrong to me. I feel that Jesus is not limited to loving me or blessing me because of my behavior. Could you please speak to this subject of grieving the Holy Spirit in context so I may begin to grasp the subject in light of the new covenant?
Well, grieving the Holy Spirit, the context is in Ephesians chapter 4. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, you see that this is about relationships. You know, if you've been stealing, stop stealing, go to work so that you can not only provide for your own needs, but you can provide for the needs of others. If you've been lying, start telling the truth so you can build up the body, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Let the thief no longer steal. So it's all about relationships, and that is important for us to understand, because and that's the context of this verse, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Well, what's the Holy Spirit doing? Well, we've learned a couple of things in the book of Ephesians, that he is giving us understanding on what it means to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We know that the Holy Spirit is teaching us by his power the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, so that we can not only know this love in our minds, but through our experience. So that's what the Holy Spirit is all about in our lives. He's about teaching us about the love of God so that we can express that love to others. Well, when we are grieving the Holy Spirit, it means that we are choosing not to love those that we're in relationship with. We are kind of bottling up what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us, and that is grievous to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he knows that us expressing our faith in Jesus Christ and love one to another is to our benefit and to the benefit of others. So does this mean that the Holy Spirit is going to stop his work inside of us? Absolutely not. Does this mean that the Holy Spirit is going to stop loving us? Absolutely not. Why? Because we know that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. So we just have to realize that God has called us to walk by faith and express that faith and love to others, and it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do so.
Well, that's it for today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, it's only because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you this good news of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your help is vital, of course, to ensure that this message remains on the air and online. You can donate right now at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. Again, you can donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Now, if you have Bible questions or personal issues after we're off the air, we encourage you to just pick up that phone, call 844-322-2742, leave us a message, and we will be glad to address your question on the Basic Gospel program. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm another Bob, inviting you to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.